Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. But on our phone lines right now, the new president of LSU, Wade Roos. And Wade, thanks so much for joining us. You know, a lot of people know you from Golden Meta. You got a degree from Nichols State. You worked in Chicago for a long time. And then you were the McNeese State president. But most people on the Bayou know that you were Bubba Ogeron's favorite wide receiver at Sauk La Fouche.
I heard you were tough. I heard you were tough. Wait, I heard not only you're a good receiver, but I heard you wasn't scared to block downfield, that you give up your body.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, that was a little bit with the old saying that you didn't have any reason to worry about your body and let it all go. That was kind of the only thing I had it on the field. So, yeah, good times, good memories, good friendships that have lasted a lifetime, as all of you know. Those old locker room relationships truly last a lifetime. And no matter, then you leave the state and you go spend 10 years in Chicago and get a doctorate and go up through the Federal Reserve, get a higher education, move to Arizona for another 6, 7, 8 years and do everything in higher education, move up through the ranks of the organization from assistant professor to dean and then come back home and be executive vice president and president of McNeese. Now, just the honor of my life to leave our flagship university to better educate Louisiana, to make a better Louisiana. It's just unbelievable. And I would argue that throughout that entire journey, those old locker room relationships, if the phone rings tomorrow, you pick up the phone. If Bubba was to call me tomorrow, we'd still talk about Friday nights and being a Tarpon. So just great relationships and so glad to be back in home in Louisiana and making an impact in higher education through our flagstaff system.
Now, Wade, if you could explain to the listeners, you're McNeese president, but what are your responsibilities? You probably had, was it more on your plate? I don't know at McNeese because I know you're sharing with the chancellor now, Jim Dalton, and I got another question about that in relationship there and that opportunity. But how would you compare what you did at McNeese to what now you're doing at LSU? Is it more universities involved with the LSU system or what?
Right. Yeah, at LSU, I mean, at McNeese, we, a regional institution really, really with a mission to develop the future workforce in a five-parish area, and really went through a couple of tough hurricanes and some difficult times, put a strategic plan in place that focused a real objective, a primary objective on getting the enrollment back and changing the decline in enrollment. We've been very successful there. Did that through investing in an athletic program and specifically our basketball program to create some excitement. We developed some core competencies around community engagement, which is who we are in South Louisiana, and it really worked. In this LSU system, in my mind, this is the most impactful role in higher education, period. It was very important to me that if we were going to get this president's job, this was over the entire system, that we would be able to go back to the way we were structured some 10 years ago when we had a president and a chancellor at the A&M campus in Baton Rouge. So as the president over the LSU system, I'll have on the A&M campus, I'll have all of the external units, so external affairs, government affairs, athletics, the things that you think about facing externally will report directly to me as the president of the entire system. And then our what I like to call the research scholarship piece of the enterprise, the A&M campus, the two health science centers, one in Shreveport and one in New Orleans, the Pennington Research Group, will report to our chancellor, who will then report up to me. So I'll have chancellors in Alexandria, I'll have chancellors in Eunice, chancellor at the A&M campus, which will be that research enterprise I just mentioned. We're going to be absorbing UNO back into the LNU system, so LSU system, so that chancellor will report as well. Just an honor of my life, Bobby, to be back home and have an impact to change the way we truly educate Louisiana. Think about this system as meeting our students where they are, and given the opportunity for, no matter where you are in your career readiness to attend college, that we'll have an opportunity for you at somewhere throughout this system. And ultimately, why it matters because when we think about economic growth in Louisiana, there's two things that drive that, and that's the ability to attract capital and labor productivity. And labor productivity is driven by our higher education system. So to be over the entire system and have that kind of outreach throughout this entire state is really remarkable. One piece I forgot there is the Ag Center, which has 64. We have outreach offices or extensions in every parish throughout the state. That will also report through that unit. So just an incredible opportunity to come home and be a part of what I think is the most impactful position in education in our state.
Fans out there, and you know, they involved in everything in Louisiana, and they're hearing you say, like A&M, you know, some of them are like, well, why is he talking about A&M? It was because I had a pennant in my room. It was at LSU A&M, like agriculture and mechanical.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right.
Why you mentioned an A&M, that, but not because when you say A&M, now everybody thinks you're talking about Texas.
No, it's definitely not Texas A&M we're talking about. Yes, that's exactly right. We're one of the land grant universities that were A&M universities back in the day. Long, strong history. So when you talk about A&M, you're talking about basically the Baton Rouge campus and the agricultural center and its extension piece of it. So land grant university, rich history.
Gotcha.
Goes back, you know, right around the Civil War and being part of that. So when we talk about the A&M, we're talking about really the sort of the Baton Rouge campus. But when you think about the LSU system, a lot of people may not realize we've got we've got two health science centers, one in Shreveport, one in New Orleans. We've got a 4-year school in Alexandria that's doing really, really well. We've got a 4-year school in Shreveport, LSU Shreveport, doing really, really well. We've got a 2-year school, LSU Eunice in Eunice. Just a system that really has its tentacles throughout the entire state. So I'm definitely not talking about the Aggies when I'm talking about our A&M campus.
Yeah, and then, boy, you got more on your plate now, too, and that's in the process of changing. I still remember, I think it started in 58, LSUNO. You know, they became UNO. So how do you think that's going? Because, boy, post-Katrina, boy, the enrollment's really been down.
Right. So today I was in New Orleans today. It's been wide open since we've announced this. I was in New Orleans today and had our big real committee meetings to talk about how we were going to bring UNO back into the LSU system. It's going to return back to be an LSUNO. But I think the wonderful part of that, it provides resources that we have throughout the system that will maybe allow them to create some efficiencies that they can lever to get better outcomes. You know, UNO, what, you know, I remember UNO in the late 80s and 90s, you know, being 14, 15,000 students pre-Katrina and being a very rigorous program, a wonderful university. I got a master's from the University of New Orleans. My first master's is from the University of New Orleans. So it's sort of near and dear to my heart. So to be there today and to really start thinking about a plan, how we're going to reintroduce UNO into the LSU system, was personal to me. Because I got an MBA from the University of New Orleans, went on to Chicago, and never once did I feel like I didn't have the background or foundation to compete with anybody in the country. And so I just think it's a wonderful. We have to have a public university in New Orleans. It's going to probably take a little bit of restructuring, but we have to have a public university in New Orleans, and I think this is the right move. And we got to thank the legislators that gave us some support and some funds to make sure that we could do this the right way and to bring them back into the system. And Bobby, just for the record, we're going to the official sort of roll in is July 1st. So we got a little bit of time here to kind of make a plan, put it in place. But in July 1st, we truly expect to have UNO to be back into our LSU system. So then we'll have, you know, we'll have 9 campuses.
Wade, you understand, you know, football's king in Louisiana. I mean, it's the top of the ladder here. Putting yourself on the committee, I think today, Bob and I talked about this, I think the president of a school today, especially the way what's happening with everything in the ever-changing world of college athletics, the president has to be on that board to understand when you're going to make a change and make a decision on the new head coach at LSU, the impact of what LSU football does, and sort of paying the bills for most of the other sports, too. It brings in an unbelievable amount of money. So that's something else that you have to deal with very early. And also your relationship with Virge Ausberry, because Virge has been at LSU a long time. Looks as though that somewhere down the line, I think pretty quickly, there'll be a new agreement with Virge as the athletic director. So talk to us a little bit about the impact there, because I do think a president of a school today, I don't care what state, you got to be involved when you see the impact of what college football and also college athletics as a whole does to a school and to a state.
Absolutely. Make no mistake about it. We have a global brand at LSU, a global brand at LSU, and the driver or one of the main drivers of that brand happens on Saturday night in Tiger Stadium. Make no mistake about it. We're going to be an elite research institution with our new structure, but that global brand is assisted with what happens at Tiger Stadium on Saturday night. And presidents from around the country, the athletics, college athletics is in a very, very fluid, and I would argue somewhat of a disequilibrium, if you will. I serve as the chairman of the board of directors of the Southland Conference and sort of been on the cutting edge of rethinking what the SCORE Act from the federal legislation and all the things that's going on that's changing college athletics that's allowing us to try to put some parameters on NIL and some of the other rules that go along with that. So presidents, whether they want to be or not, have to be involved in athletics, not only from a monetary perspective, from a branding perspective, and ultimately in Louisiana, it's who we are. It's how we define and attract students, high-quality students from around the world, is what happens on Saturday night. So we take it very seriously. The athletic director reports directly to me, the president. I'm getting to know Virge very well. I just removed the interim tag off of his – he's the acting AD. Been in some early conversations with him about 48 hours on this job. Virge bleeds purple and gold. He has my full authority to go find us a coach that I think for the best coaching job in America. We're going to go find the best fit for our coaching job in America. And I couldn't be more pleased to have Virge remove the interim title off of him.
Well, Wade, you know what I like what Virge said? And no, it's the truth. Now they have 12 teams in the playoffs. It's going to go to 16. LSU got to be in the playoffs every year. So I'm not even talking about you got to be in the hunt. I'm not somebody, okay, we got to win a championship. Yes, everybody wants to win a championship. But there's no reason, and Burge said this, that LSU should not be top 12. And if they go to 16 teams, hell yeah, you should be in the playoffs every year.
I agree. That I think that's the goal, and that's what we need to focus on. And you look at the history here and winning national championships, I'm confident Virge, again, has my full authority to go and hire us a coach that will lead us to our next national championship. I think we have resources in place that allow us to do that every year.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Point, Bobby, and we're not going to settle for anything less than that.
Now, wait, before we let you run, how would you compare Chancellor Jim Dalton, his role at LSU, his responsibilities, I should say, at LSU versus what he was doing at Alabama? Is it very similar or what?
No, he'll be stepping up. He was the provost at Alabama.
Okay.
Provost is sort of the chief academic officer. So he's coming over here, and he's going to be chancellor. He's going to actually be my executive vice president and chancellor of the A&M campus. And when I think about that, he's a great scholar. He's got a lot of scholarship behind him. And I think we compare so sort of complementary that, you know, he'll really focus on those research institutions, so the Baton Rouge campus and the medical schools and Pennington, like I mentioned earlier. And on the Baton Rouge campus, we'll both live there, and athletics, all the external stuff, will report directly to me. So if you think about our chancellor's really going to take care of the academic research side of the house in Baton Rouge and be my assistant throughout the entire system as my executive vice president, and I'll focus in the Baton Rouge campus on the external stuff. So government affairs, all the lobbying that goes along with how we tell our story at the state and federal level, all of the our external fundraising, our athletic piece, all of that will report directly to me, so we can take that off the plate of the Baton Rouge chancellor to really focus on the academic house. We want to be an elite university in Baton Rouge. We want it to be an academic elite university, and we want to think about our system and putting places and a structure where we have access to anybody that can be a part of LSU. So, you know, if you come out of high school, maybe like Bubba Ogeron, if he's listening, he might not have the best. I'm just joking about that. But if he had his GPA or his ACT score wouldn't have been great, you know, we have an opportunity. Maybe you go start at LSU and then you transfer to an elite university. That's what the vision is. The vision is to change the way we educate Louisiana and to truly develop an elite university, get into top 50 in the university in our Baton Rouge campus, but also have access throughout this entire state and change the way we educate Louisiana.
Wade, you and I have talked about on the air and off the air about the because your kind of wheelhouse is the economics part of things. We see what's happening out in Calcasieu Parish, where the LNG kind of run is there now, where you have Woodland being able to invest $17.5 billion in that area. And I think for a lot of things, and I know you've heard it too, for a lot of people on the bayous, man, and in your cities, no matter where you are in Louisiana, I want to keep my grandkids and my kids home to have jobs. And I think to maybe open up also different areas that you can major in. And you did that at McNeese. But what's happening, I think, for people here, it's almost like Calcasieu Parish is like, you know, Siberia. They don't realize the economic impact that's happening there and is just starting to be there. But also that has to be a educated workforce, that you have to have people ready to take these jobs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you and I have talked about this, Mike, off the air. There's two variables that matter in any macroeconomic theory or model that you put out there that are statistically significant, and those are labor and capital. And again, that labor piece truly has to be there to get the capital here. You have to have both of them to grow GDP growth, and it has to be a true intentional model. What we've done at McNeese, I've had a wonderful team there, a wonderful community, lucky to be geographically located in that side of the world. But you think about the budget at McNeese is about $130 million. Our economic impact in the region's, you know, $700 million. When you think about the LSU system, you're talking about a $1.3 billion enterprise. So when you think about the economic impact to the state, once we do it right, you know, you're talking $5, $6, $7 billion. So it's enormous, enormous impact. But in order for that to continue to grow, We must be able to develop labor in an innovative fashion that allows us to keep attracting capital, have companies that want to move in, be anticipating what they may need, and be leading and not reacting in developing that talent pool. And also, scholarships are very, very important. Scholarship and research, when you think about the model versus the Magnese model, very, very important. Scholarship and how we do research also has an economic impact as you go into, you know, we talk about coastal restoration. We send teams out there and doing impact. They're renting boats. They're doing all the things that go along with economic activity to continue to grow the economy and also truly have an effect on students and postdocs that come to our school and put them down the right career path and hopefully keeping them in the great state of Louisiana. It's all about making a better Louisiana. That's where our focus is at. And we're determined to get there.
Wade, one of the things, and we hear about it a lot, of schools, you know, asking boosters or people that contribute to the program a lot of money. A lot of it is involved with athletics. Come on, we live it in the real world. Athletics is a big budget item, and sometimes you got to go to the goose that lays the golden egg, but you don't want to kill those geese that are laying the golden egg. From your standpoint, does that have to be something also involved on the academic part to get more people involved in maybe some projects on the school and in the LSU system that outside of the system to ask for money for, let's say it's a McNeese or a Nicholls State or a Southeastern or LSU to help grow the program at their respective schools? We hear so much about it because it's athletics involved, but the economic part, I think, also is something, for me, you're going to have to ask those same people to help you build a system to keep our kids and grandkids here in the state of Louisiana.
Actually, have wishes that you always want to honor. In McNeese, for example, we 5X the amount of money we were at, not 5% and not 50%, we 5X'd it, the amount of money we were raising. And the vast majority of that was for academic size. And we went out into the corporate side and entered a vision, if you want, labor force, kind of, we needed, and she responded to the LSU. Maybe I'd have been on the job like 48 hours and still haven't made it to bed, but the point is, I've been digging and digging. I think they have a very philanthropic group that is not necessarily athletics. We hear about the athletics. We, you know, you get misquoted on the athletics all the time. But a lot of the research that comes in, and a lot of these philanthropic, unbelievable donors that love Louisiana State University are truly interested in the programs and the colleges that they graduated from and want to have an impact in terms of scholarship or professorships and chairs in terms of the colleges that they graduated from. So, Mike, although we hear it and because we love and we're passionate about our athletic programs, there is a lot of philanthropic activity revolving around the academic side of the house, and that needs to continue, and it's going to be one of our focuses moving forward.
Last question for you, Wade, because a lot of people, when is LSU going to get the new head coach? So sort of give a time frame, and I think I've heard, or maybe you were quoted as saying, maybe it was Verge, that it doesn't matter if we have a coach that we've kind of targeted, we could wait until after the playoff system. There is some dynamics there that won't quite jive because of the early signing period and everything else. So for people asking, when could we expect maybe a new coach at LSU for football, kind of give kind of your comments on that? Because if it's a guy in the playoff system, you may have to wait a while.
Right, they may have some uncertainty there. That's exactly right. But I will tell you this. I have the complete confidence in our AD that we're going to go hire the best coach for the best fit for the best program in America. And I can't say that enough. I have the utmost confidence that we have an AD that's going to go find us a coach for the best job in America. In terms of timing, who knows? It depends on how the – you know, how all that plays out to sort of how your question was phrased there. Depends on timing of the season, so on and so forth. But one thing is for sure, we are focused on getting the best coach for the best program in America.
Well, I'm gonna put my two cents in. Y'all gotta call Jeff Brohm. I don't know. He's one of like 10 guys probably y'all talking to, but I know he knows what he's talking about. You know, I think he's an NFL coach at Louisville. Now, he bleeds Louisville, but you know, you can talk. You got to make that phone call. All I know is I always look at like Coach O. Okay, what do you do like top 10 ranked opponents? What do you do against ranked opponents? And that's one thing Coach Kelly didn't do. Well, four wins against AP top five teams, that's what he is worth considering what Jeff Brohm has done. I'm telling you, I don't know if he'll get the job, but y'all got to call him at least.
I hear you. I'm going to take the fifth on that, KJ Cannon. I'm going to take the fifth on that. And I'm going to repeat what I said earlier. I have an AD that I got full faith in. Is going to go find the coach, and he's going to be the best coach for the best program in America. And I'm going to take the fifth on that, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Wade, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, enjoyed our time together. And wish you the best of luck. And, man, being on the bayou, that's got to be an unbelievable experience growing up in Golden Meadow and to see where you're at today, man. Couldn't be more proud of you.
So blessed with the opportunities that Bayou LaFouche, the foundation and our culture gave us this idea that there's no substitute for work ethic, right? You go get it done and make no excuses and continue to set goals and go get them. So blessed to be in this opportunity and the way I was raised, I never ran from it. I ran towards it. I'm proud of it. I never hide from my accent, and I'm just blessed every day to be on top of LSU. And I leave you with one thing: go Tigers.
That's it. Go Tigers.
Okay, wait. You ain't got no accent. Bobby and I, we got an accent. You ain't got no accent,
well,
bro.
We don't have no accent compared to Jeff Landry, though. Or Governor Landry.
Right. When I was at the Federal Reserve, it was in 2008, and the world was kind of ending, and we're giving all of these technical presentations on economics and how we were unfreezing. The first question would be with investment bankers. Everybody's in the crowd. And I'd stay up all night trying to prepare my talk to where it'd be perfect and technical. And the first question from the crowd was always, where are you from? And I said, I'd say Chicago. I'm from the Chicago Federal Reserve Bank. And they'd say, no, where are you from? I'd say, Golden Meadow. And they'd say, what? How in the heck does a guy from Golden Meadow get to the Federal Reserve? But so they thought.
Hey, only in America.
That's it, baby.
Hey, that's what's great about capitalism in America.
Like Coach always say, you got to fight like hell every day, and we know all about it.
Yeah, great opportunities. No greater country.
Wade, thanks so much. And
appreciate
again, congratulations, buddy. Thank you.
All right, Wade.
All righty.
That was the new president of LSU, Wade Roos, and you heard him make the comment that basically AD, Virg Ausberry, he's got autonomy. He can do what he wants to hire the head coach and bring it out to the board to get that done. And, Bob, I do think they going big game hunting.
Yeah.
I think they're going to go big game hunting. They talked about how Scott Woodward did. I think Verge is going to do the exact same thing.
I'm going to tell you what LSU fans, everybody wants to be associated with a winner, and they don't mind investing their money. The bottom line, I'm not asking too much. But you got to win. No, not winning record. You got to go to the playoffs. There's no reason the brand of LSU shouldn't be in the top 12 every year. And then they can expand it to 16 going to the postseason. No, there's no. I don't care who's the coach. You got to make the playoffs every year, and that's not asking too much. Now, you know, maybe once a decade,
you'll have a transition year,
or once every 5 years. You know, we want to because you get spoiled. The 21st century, three different coaches. No other university has done that, winning a national championship. Look at Saban. Look at Les Miles. Coach O. Look at Bebe. Three national champions. Three different coaches. Nobody can say that when you look at that. So, but they have to be in the hunt. I don't care who's the
coach.
And
you're out of it. You're not in it right now.
No, the season, we still have a lot of games left. Look how irrelevant the Alabama game is. What I mean by irrelevant, shame. If we head in the right direction, LSU's like a 9.5-point underdog. Well, that should be like a pick 'em game or a field goal, not 9.5 points.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.